Blog Talk Radio.
And greetings, Ma'atotep. Welcome to another segment of New Day, Resurrection and Liberation. My name is Empress Chi, also known as Dr. Filet, and it is always wonderful to be able to be with you live and in living color. Well, tonight, family, we are getting ready to kick off some things, as we indicated we would a few days ago during our regular program, of course, which is Saturday, 10:30 p.m., and we indicated then that we would do almost every day, if not every day, almost every day, something that is relevant to our 23-year anniversary, which is coming up in a few weeks, and, of course, also to bring forward this great movement. The Million Woman March, Universal Movements, is now officially on its way to be established and recognized worldwide as the first global movement for women and girls of African descent worldwide. And it has been a tremendous amount of work to do that. But, you know, we knew that that's what we had to do. That was the mission 23 years ago. And so we've kind of, you know, gone through the trials and tribulations. It is unfortunate that in this day and age, you know, there's still so much misinformation and misconceptions. And speaking of misinformation and misconception, we are going to talk tonight about, well, some still do observe it, I'm sure. I'm hoping not many of our people, but we know that they do. Particularly given the fact that it has been a federal holiday. And we're talking about what some call Columbus Day. Well, over the years, that has ran into a lot of opposition, and rightfully so. And as a result, many are now observing that day as Indigenous Peoples Day. So what we're going to do tonight as part of our special edition, we want to talk about so-called Columbus Day and what we now know as Indigenous Peoples Day. Now, before we do, oh, and by the way, we're going to have Brother Lee Robinson join us. You know of our brother, of course, from Africa on the Move, and also Missing Pages of History, and also one of our brothers from the AAPRPGC. Well, his organization and many of affiliates are involved in what's coming up next Monday, which is October the 12th. And there's going to be an event that takes place in D.C., Washington, D.C. Now, of course, MWM has launched its We Charge Genocide 21 project, and we're really getting ready to kick boots on the ground. Now, on Saturday's program coming up, our regular program again, we'll give you a somewhat of a report on who we have sent letters to in order to request their support for our We Charge Genocide 21 program. And it's very important that we let our people know who's going to be supporting that effort. Needless to say, this time period shows how important it is to do some things that are perhaps a little different. Now, it's not to say that We Charge Genocide has not been something that others have not done, so they certainly have. In fact, that's kind of what inspired us, particularly Paul Robeson and William Patterson. They specifically just, you know, really kindled and reignited the spirit and the necessity to take this thing to that level, and so we shall. And so, again, 1951, those of you who are familiar with our work, with our program, 1951, of course, William Patterson and Paul Robeson took that petition to the United Nations. And there have been other things that have been taken to the United Nations, but our We Charge Genocide 21 is totally encompassing, meaning it's not just talking about or focusing on police and governmental terrorism. It's focusing on 400 years plus of vicious, barbaric treatment that have been inflicted upon our people in this country, in this land. And so that's why we were really honored to be a part of what's coming up for next Monday, because that's the only other peoples in this land, as far as we're concerned, that have a certain, not only right, but a certain grievance with this government. That's the only other group other than us. There were people already here, and by the way, some of them were, in fact, what one might call Africans today. We must not forget that. So there were people already here, and certainly there were people who were kidnapped and brought here. And so in either case, we have not only a justified but a rightful position that will, in fact, be echoed all over the world when we present our first 1,000,000 signatures to the United Nations this December. That is the target date. And it is to, you know, put them on notice. It's what we call the letter of intent that we will be giving to United Nations officials. And that letter of intent will advise them, notify them, that we are preparing formal charges, formal papers to charge the United States government and others with genocide, i.e. crimes against humanity. And so we're going to be telling you a lot about that in the next few months, because we want to make certain that the educational pieces are in place in our communities, and we're really organizing nationwide. So we want you, we want groups and organizations to establish their own Black Human Rights Collective or cadre. And again, we'll be giving you more information about that a little later on. So going back to next Monday, Indigenous Peoples Day, we're going to talk to Brother Lee Robinson very shortly and talk about why that day is coming. Why is it so important that we support it? Why is it so important that the truth really is able to finally prevail? And, you know, and I mentioned something earlier. You know, I know what it's like firsthand to have your truth, your history, your work, you know, given out in a way that is not only misinformation, just outright lies. Million Woman March has experienced that over the years, and that's why now we're going to be very adamant in exposing it, because we've done a lot of work over these years, and, you know, to have people to try to make it seem like they were involved in that, even though they might have been involved in something like 23 years ago, or even done something here and there over the years, but nothing really consistent. We've been consistent straight through. And in such, built this movement from the ground up, and will continue to do so. And so, again, we're going to expose now people who pop in, pop out, groups and organizations who call themselves commemorating Million Woman March, but never bother to contact the national office, the founding office. There's information that no one has except the founding office, and as quiet as it's kept. Right after the Million Woman March, all committees that were, participating at that time were dissolved, because that was the mission at that time, to organize the Million Woman March as an event. But as a ongoing movement, that was to be done by those who really embraced what we were doing, how we were setting things up in terms of the platform, the action plans to come with it, and so forth and so on. Unfortunately, most did not stay around for that, and for whatever reason, did not find it to be of any real significance to do so. And so, you know, we are now moving forward in the manner that we anticipated years ago, and certainly now we're going to really let people see exactly who and what we are and why. And so, again, family, we're looking forward to sharing with you the real truth about the Million Woman March. And as a matter of fact, I will announce on Saturday the 100 Amazing Facts About the Million Woman March. You can pre-order starting on Saturday. That's right. We have a kind of booklet that will provide information about who and what the Million Woman March is. But it will also give some previews on some other areas that we've been working on. You know, I've been talking about the new Philadelphia Negro. Well, you'll get a little preview of that, as well as the Ma'atik Epoch. These are two other books that I'm working on and that will be coming out in 2021 and 2022. So you'll be getting some insight into that. But for right now, we want to put it on the record. We want to make sure that people are clear that, you know, the Million Women March remains the largest gathering in the world of any women anywhere ever in one location, and certainly of Black women, period. And we want people to be able to have a reference point in terms of information. And so I've developed this book, just for that, to make sure that people are able to really see and know the truth about the Million Woman March. Okay, so again, Saturday, during our regular broadcast, which of course is 10:30 p.m., we will, of course, give you information on how you can pre-order, support MWM. Again, our focus has been and will always be about self-determination, and we will now have various products and other things that will assist in our financial growth and development and revenue streams. We have several products and books that are coming out. Some are even educational. We'll be soon telling you about our 20 Sister Saints project, because on an educational level, we'll be bringing you, or rather for the children in particular, for example, a coloring book that will feature our 20 Sister Saints. It's just one of the projects that we are preparing for you, one of the products as well. So again, you're going to hear more this month. We have a lot of stuff we're getting ready to bring forward for you. And, you know, you're going to really see that, you know, we took a lot of time, a lot of effort in building this movement. One final thing, we had a wonderful meeting this past Saturday with a brother who holds 3 patents for a technological kind of advancement in growing food, okay, and growing anything, really, but food, herbs, hemp even, and he has created a formula and a way to really make certain that the production is, it'll yield a nice quantity as well as the quality. He has figured out how to replenish the soil. So you're going to be hearing from him soon. We'll be having him on, not this coming week, but the following week, and we are going to partner with him and being a distributor of what is known as Torpedo Pot. You will be able, family, to grow food inside your home, as well as, of course, outside gardening or rooftop gardening. But you will be able to grow peppers, carrots. He had chard, all kinds of stuff. You'll be able to do that right in your home and do it easily and do it well. Okay, so we'll be telling you more about that as well. Okay, I think we have Brother Lee in queue, and that might be Brother Anthony too. Let me see if that's Brother Anthony. Let me holler at him real quick if it is. Greetings. Is this you, Brother Anthony?
Yes, it is. greetings, Sister Empress. How are you tonight?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for tuning in tonight.
You're quite welcome.
Yes. Okay. Well, we're going to get started, and I'm going to bring in Brother Lee, and I'm going to keep your mic open. So if there's something else that you might want to chime in and add on to or whatever, I'm going to leave your mic open, and you're certainly welcome to do so.
Thanks.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's do this, family. Now, before we do it, and also, Brother Anthony, maybe you can answer this question, and then we're going to bring in Brother Lee. I want to ask our family if anyone knows two things. What? How did Columbus Day come into existence? How did it become a recognized federal holiday or U.S. holiday? and, you know, under whose administration, but perhaps even more importantly, why? Okay? And the other question that we're going to ask later is, should the story of Christopher Columbus, as well as all this other myth and exaggerated history that is taught in public schools, should the present day public school curriculum for history continue? We'll answer that question later and also tell you about a movement that is now being developed that says no, meaning right now, for example, in Chicago, they've already put in legislation to get rid of the present curriculum for history that's being taught in the public school systems. They've already put that legislation in. And we picked it up and now have started a national movement to have our cities, our communities examine, and not only examine, but take action in regards to getting rid of the present curriculum that is now in schools, the history curriculum that is now in schools nationwide. I want to know what you all think about that, but hold that thought because we're going to bring in Brother Lee, and we're going to talk about next Monday is now Indigenous Peoples Day. Hey, Brother Lee.
Ready for Revolution, Sister African. How you doing?
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for taking the time to join us tonight. I think it's, you know, it's important. I want to make sure that we get as much information circulated and you know, give people a briefing tonight, and then later on in the week when we do another special edition, I know you'll have some more details after Wednesday about, you know, what's going to be actually happening on Monday. But for now, just, you know, give us some briefing, give us some insight into, you know, why this is happening, some of the things that are projected, some of the kinds of interactions you've been able to have with Indigenous peoples, etc.
Well, sister, on behalf of all the African peoples, Revolutionary Party of AC, you know, we are in solidarity with Indigenous People Day of Celebration, which will be held in Malcolm X Park. That's the lower level in Washington, D.C. As you said earlier, it will take place on October the 12th. And it'll be from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Now, there are a host of organizations outside of AIR which will be convening this particular important event. These hosts are Chief Billy Tayot from the Skatoway Indian Nation and Tayot Territory. You have the American Indian Movement, Mid-Atlantic Region. You have American Indian Support Project. You have National Council of Arab Americans. You have Himashima Nakasaki Peace Committee, or the National Capital Regional. You have Pan-African Roots. Those are the key organizations who will be hosting this particular event. Now, when we talk about the Indigenous People Day celebration, when we talk about the various movements that are taking place, we believe that this should be one of the most important movements at this present time, because what this does is it set the foundation from the beginning and the origin of all of this corruption, oppression that people in the Western Hemisphere is encountering today. We know that the European forces came over to settle in this particular territory, this particular region, which we call the settler colonies. They set the foundation of not only to occupy the indigenous people land, but in the process of doing that, they also went and brought the Africans over here and oppressed and misused and exploited Africans in other people's homes. We always say that, you know, we joke about how they came and take your home. After taking you home, what they decided to do, well, to let you stay there and give you a room in your own home. And then they complicated it by bringing other folks in and making decisions and what would take place on these land bases when they are not the real original owners. So, you know, if you really want any truth and justice in this country and in the Western Hemisphere, you must look at the foundation, how this all gets started and correct those kind of contradictions. You never get any kind of truth and justice in this country because it wasn't based upon it, it wasn't founded upon it, and it started, you know, with the taking and robbery of the indigenous people homeland. So in that sense, you know, one of the things we have in common is that not only their homelands were taken, also Africa was taken in the same way. You know, if you look at the history in terms of what they did to our home back home during the Berlin Conference around 1884-85, they did the same thing. And this whole issue of settler colonialism is one of the major contradictions in terms of how we must view this world when we talk about analyzing it and attacking who is the enemy. So with the common knowledge that we have between the various people, African indigenous people, we are asking all of our brothers and sisters to come out and support this day. And by doing this, you'll be fighting for the right side, on the right side of history. For more information, you know, people can, you know, we say check out our website. We'll be updating it as it comes along. You can do this by going to our website, which is www.a-aprp-gc.org. Let me say it one more time. It's www.a-aprp-gc.org. Now, in terms of, you know, this particular event, we can say there's a process of bringing in people from all over the world to participate. And it's something of not only is history in making, but you have a lot of historical figures who have struggled and made contributions in various movements from the past 50s, 60s, 70s to even up to today. So what you also can get is a historical analysis of the relationships of how African people, particularly African people, have played a role and had a connection in terms of supporting and working with indigenous people. Mm-hmm. This relationship has a long history. We are not strangers in terms of working with and supporting indigenous people. So I would just like to encourage our brothers and sisters to take a look at it, come on out and support us. And if you can't come out, we are trying to make available where you can go online to be able to view it, no matter where you are around the world. So come on out. Keep your ears and eyes open as it relates to next Monday, October 12th, as we celebrate the Indigenous People Day celebration at Malcolm X Park, starting at 12 noon.
All right. Brother Anthony, did you have something you want to add?
The only thing I would add to the excellent analysis that Lee provided is that people need to keep in mind that settler colonialism affected oppressed people around the world, in addition to those in the Western Hemisphere, but also Africa and various parts of Asia. And that's one of the reasons why we're working with the National Council of Arab Americans and the Nagasaki Peace Committee, because Asians and Africans were also victims of settler colonialism, and people need to keep that to keep that in mind. And in terms of the question you raised earlier, we need the curriculum, the myth that is taught in the in our school systems needs to be challenged and revised.
That's
because
right.
The notion of a discovery is racist. Because at a minimum, the people who occupy this land were aware of their own existence.
Right, that's right.
So that whole notion of a discovery, in itself is racist.
And it's not only racist, which definitely is one of the key points. It is one of the most kind of obvious forms or tools of not only psychological manipulation, but also a way to create, an illusion. And they did it so well, they did it so very well. So the mere fact that you would teach children that, and they made certain that that was a primary thing that was taught in these public schools. I mean, I think you learn that almost in second grade, first grade, or whatever. Christopher Columbus discovered America. And so this was a mainstay indoctrination that permeated through all, you know, all of the school systems, even the private school system, by the way, but definitely the public school system. So we had a form of indoctrination that was just, you know, so it was so fine-tuned, you see. And so, you know, they didn't go into details. They just gave you enough to feed the brain to create a distortion and a distraction. And so, you know, again, Brother Anthony, we are in total agreement, and we're going to talk more about it this week as we, you know, lead up to Monday. We're going to ask our people to really have some dialogue about this whole issue of history, or their story, rather, that's being taught in the public school system, and how we must demand that it is changed. It is our public dollars that are going into these schools. And so we should have some say about what some of the curriculum is. Brother Lee, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, yes, also psychologically, it gets you to buy into that criminality. It allows you to become a corporate in terms of participating their crimes against humanity. It does
right.
that in terms of how history is written, and it also what it does is it limits your perception of being able to, or outlook in terms of how you look at humanity. You know, so you know, history is very important. That's what it does, and in the process of doing that, it has been able to get us to accept artificial titles in terms of who we are, in terms of identifying themselves. It does all of these kind of things that create an atmosphere that allows them to continue to dominate and control our thinking and behavior. So this is a real crucial battle in terms of this fight over how history will be written, because if it's always written from a point of view of those in power, then those who are not in power will never begin to be able to conceive a proper way of how to advance themselves and overcome these forms of oppression that they are facing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was in D.C. a few weeks ago, and one of the purposes was to begin to connect with some of the various nations, some of the countries, et cetera, that we have had an allyship with in terms of dealing with struggle. We began that process. And, of course, we definitely wanted to make certain that we were able to have that also that relationship with, the groups that are known as indigenous peoples. Because, you know, black folks, Africans in the U.S. have, you know, over the years been very supportive to various groups and organizations when it comes to issues, but also to countries. You know, there's been a relationship and support, of course, of Zania, Zimbabwe, and other countries. And so, you know, we now are prepared to ask for their support as we now proceed with our We Charge Genocide 21 project as well. And again, you know, since 2019 was viewed by many as being a time to observe the 400-year-plus genocide that was inflicted upon our people and still is, you know, we know that this definitely has to be a connection that we're able to bring forward to the world to see that we are allies, that we have embraced, you know, each other's struggles. And so now with MWM bringing forward the We Charge Genocide 21, again, we began to send appeals to some of our countries, some of our allied countries. And so, again, you know, this gives us a wonderful time to also now connect with, you know, the peoples of this land as we now get ready to document 400 years of ongoing crimes against humanity. And certainly, you know, right now during Corona, you know, people are still talking about, you know, the murders of Breonna Taylor. And by the way, tomorrow we will have the uncle of Brother Jacob Blake. His uncle will be doing a special edition tomorrow, And so his uncle will be on our program to talk, you know, to give an update on what's going on with him. He's still in the hospital. Of course, he's paralyzed. We were talking about the brother that was in Wisconsin, and the cops, you know, shot him at least seven times right in front of his children as he was entering into his car. And so we'll get a report on that tomorrow from Brother Jacob's uncle. His name is Brother Justin. But at any rate, Brother Lee, one of the things we were asking when we first came on is, how did Columbus Day even become a holiday? I know, you know, because I would not have even cared to look it up, you know, if it wasn't for the fact that, you know, when we do our programs and when we interact with people, we like to kind of know, you know, to whatever degree we need to know certain kind of facts. And so I looked some of it up, and it was very interesting. And I don't know if either one of you had ever, you know, ran across it or remember it. It's not something that one would normally remember, to be honest. I suspect I won't remember it too much after this week or so. But I found it interesting because when we do the We Charge Genocide next steps, we will be saying, and by the way, that'll be in December, we'll be taking signatures to the United Nations in December to kick things off. But one of the things we've been saying is that we're not only charging the U.S. government, we're charging others with genocide too. And when I looked up, how did Columbus Day come into existence? Do either one of you remember that?
You know, since Columbus Day is a history to that, I was just reading that particular point. If you allow me to at least address the question next time I come back, I will make sure I'm factual with my dates. I will share with the people exactly how it came into existence and when Congress passed it and made it official.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, because all of it ties into recognizing this terrorist boy and his coming over to the West as a hero. And it also has this relationship to the naming of Washington, D.C., you know, District of Columbia. So there is the history. I just, if you, next time we'll come on, we'll share that with the people. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're doing another edition tomorrow, and that's when we'll really open up the lines. Tonight, we just wanted to kind of give people a briefing on, you know, what's coming. But also, you know, to educate our people. So we'll do that probably tomorrow or later this week. But we definitely want to continue to raise the question about this stuff being taught in the public schools. There's some things that we will never change about public school because it was designed that way. But there's some things we can change, and we strongly believe this is one of them, that they can be forced to change the curriculum. So we'll give we'll wait and talk with Brother Lee Robinson later on this week, perhaps tomorrow, about going more in depth into how did Columbus Day even come into existence. I'm just going to throw a couple of things out there. One being the Knights of Columbus lobbied for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The Knights of Columbus lobbied for it. Now, most do not know, and then I'm away from Brother Lee, but I had to tell y'all this because, again, I didn't know it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't know. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of get more insight. I had no idea that this person that is known as Columbus, which, from what I understand, it wasn't his real actual name. It was, you know, it kind of was like that, but that's not it. But anyway, he was a saint before they made it a holiday and all that. He was literally canonized or whatever it is as a saint. And it wasn't until, I think, 1993 that the Pope decided that he was no longer going to be a saint because they couldn't find the evidence of him doing things that, you know, according to their indoctrination, you're supposed to have done certain things in order to get a sainthood title. And so somewhere around 1993, it was determined that he had met the criteria. So they de-sainted him. Okay. I thought that was interesting stuff. I had to tell you that one because that was interesting stuff.
That's an example of the power of the word, huh? I say it, therefore it is this.
Yeah. actually, according to the Catholic religion, this person was actually viewed and embraced as a saint for many years until very recently. And again, I think it was 1993 it was. But this just goes to show you, see, and again, when we talk more with Brother Lee about it, the connection of all of this. And the reason why I said it again is because, and I'm not going to go into the details, but we said in our Recharge Genocide work and documents that we're not just going to charge the U.S. government. We can't. Now, that is what others have done. That's why ours is a little different. We, again, are not just talking about police and governmental stuff, which is what the other Recharge Genocide campaigns kind of, you know, dealt with. It was more like police brutality and governmental, you know, excessive whatever or misconduct. Well, ours is it's all across the board. Gentrification, inferior education, COINTELPRO, political prisoners, mass incarceration. Every aspect of crimes against humanity is what we're going to be bringing forward with evidence. That's why our project will take a good 3 years, because we'll be providing evidence, testimonials, other kinds of documents, etc. But again, we're not just talking about this government. We're talking about, if we're saying we're looking at 400 plus years, then we have to also include others who use their ships to bring us here, willingly, knowingly, intentionally. So I'm going to leave it at there for now, but y'all probably got to know who I'm talking about here. And to my knowledge, that has not been put in the context of genocide, or if not an actual entity, certainly a participant, and certainly there are others who were complicit, you see. And we've got to at least bring that information forward. We might not be able to make the charge stick, but certainly the information will serve its purpose, and that's what we're going to do. So anyway, Brother Lee, hopefully you'll be able to join us, if not tomorrow night, later on this week, so that we can, you know, bring more information. Well, let's wait until after Wednesday, I guess, because I think that's when you indicated you're going to have another update ready after Wednesday. So we'll wait until then. But again, family, you know, we're going to have Brother Lee to give you that information again as to when, what time, who you can contact for more information, and so forth, the website and so forth. But before I go back to Brother Lee, I do want to mention again that, you know, it's so important right now that we continue to stay, to be diligent and just stay on point and making certain that we fight back in every way possible. I mean, even with Corona. Oh, speaking of Corona, I know you brothers have heard that supposedly there's two new cases of Corona. I've been saying to people earlier, I don't particularly believe it, just because they're saying that Trump and his wife came down or was diagnosed or tested positive. Okay, but you know, why do we believe stuff so readily? Anyway, I digress. Go back to Brother Lee. So give folks again the date, the location, and how they can get more information.
Okay, for the Indigenous People Day celebration, which will take place on October the 12th at Malcolm X Park at the lower level in Washington, D.C., program from 12 to 3 noon. You can go to our website for continuous update on information by going to www.a-aprp.cc.org, or you can go to the websites of some of the host groups, such as Billy Tayac, the Piscataway Indian Nation, and Tayac Territory. You can go to American Indian Movement for the Mid-Atlantic region. They got American Indian Support Project, the National Council of Arab Americans, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Peace Committee of the National Capital Region, or you can go Pan-African Roots. Those are the groups that are working to put this event together. Seek information from these organizations, and Bishop LK. Again, we invite you to come to our website.
All right. Question, do you know if there will be a report or information available regarding the brother's name just escaped me, political prisoner? Oh, goodness. You know who I'm talking
I can tell you they do have institutions, organizations who represent the political prisoner movement. One of the sisters who invited has been Sister Pam. She will be on the program. They have a lot of historical old heads, as they would say. That you may have not heard about for a while, but you know, they will be on these programs to talk about their work, their relationship with indigenous people. And like I said, it looked like a lineup of a family union from various movements from the past to the present day. It's a real dynamic lineup of, you know, movements from the past up to the present day. I think people have enjoyment. And for those who can't come physically, like I said, they'll try to have media available. They're going to be putting it online where you maybe can go online and view the program wherever you may be during that particular day and time.
Okay. And by the way, I do have his name now. Leonard Pelletier. That's who I was thinking about. He's been incarcerated since 1977. And he is an indigenous political prisoner. And like you said, I remember that AIM, the group AIM, you know, they always kind of talk about him. So surely, I'm sure they'll be bringing information. What we would like to do, Brother Lee and Brother Anthony, is Monday night, because we will probably do a special edition, and if not Monday night, definitely Tuesday. We'd like to be able to give a report. You think we can do that? For those who missed it. But also, we may be able to do something after the event, because you said it's from 12 to 3?
That's correct.
Okay, so maybe we can do something collectively for that evening in the form of Zoom or a blog or whatever to talk with, you know, to have some of the people that participated or what have you to join us.
That sounds quite possible, Sister Empress. We'll look at it and see what we can do to make that happen.
Once you
guys are trying to say, if that's what you want to do.
Yep. Mhm. And then that'll allow us to, you know, really keep it moving. You know, those that could not catch it that day or participate or whatever, you know, we can still tap into providing them with information and the capability to interact later that evening.
We will work with you on that to see if we can make that happen. You have our word.
Great. All right, family. Well, again, we just wanted to kind of give you a briefing on tonight, or for tonight, rather, that in regards to what's coming up for Monday. Again, that's going to be October 12th, what is now known as Indigenous Peoples Day. You know, sometimes it is something that has to be done. We have to take back what is ours, or if not take back what's ours, correct what presently exists, particularly when it's incorrect. And so this be one of those cases. And to be able to show, you know, solidarity. There are things, as Brother Lee mentioned, you know, and Brother Anthony, there are issues and situations that really is directly linked and connected to us. To various groups in particular. And so for us to show a level of solidarity here in the U.S. is very, very important at this time, particularly given the fact that we have, again, a lot of misrepresentation. I mean, you know, there's a lot of Black Lives Matter stuff going on, and most people have no clue what's really going on with that. And so, again, we have these kind of illusions about certain things. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that there's not people out there doing great work. They are. But we also know that, you know, there is an intention to create misrepresentation. And so, again, it's a beautiful thing when people stand up to correct some of that, if not all of that. So, okay, we're going to go back to Brother Anthony and get some closing comments from him, and then we'll let Brother Lee close us out for tonight. Brother Anthony, you got some closing comments for us?
Yes. I would urge, the people in your audience to check out Indigenous People Day, either by organizing activities in their own communities or checking out Indigenous People's Day commemoration in Washington, D.C. in Malcolm X Park, because it is very much related to our struggle for freedom. We have to start, intensify work with other people that are fighting against the same enemies that we are. And also, just bear in mind that one of the lessons that that Martin Luther King left us with is that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I think it's important to bear that in mind. And the plight of the Indigenous people of the Western Hemisphere and throughout the world is very much a part of the worldwide struggle for equal rights and justice.
All right. Absolutely. Thank you, Brother Anthony.
You're welcome.
Brother Lee, your closing comments.
Well, I would just say that when we talk about the commonalities, one of the things you must realize when you look at history is that when you look at settler colonialism and these occupation styles and forms that has taken place back home, remember that the bunker stands and this old question of concentration camps and stuff, you must remember that a lot of those ideas they took from America and carried it back and brought into our home, Africa. So, that's a close history of these kind of ideas that have came from America and went to so-called America, went to Africa and other places in terms of what we're talking about, occupying other people's territories and oppressing other people. Mm-hmm. But the biggest point I'd like to make is that if you want to change our conditions, the best way we can utilize our skills and resources and become effective is to collectively join in as one. That means to get organized. We want to encourage the people and tell the people, join the Million Woman March-Movement. Join the All African People Revolutionary Party, CC. Join the American Indian Movement. Join some movement that's trying to do something to overcome these various forms of oppression. At this point in time, if you stand on the sideline, then you are against your people and you are against humanity. Every individual, every African, every indigenous people, every person who are oppressed and catch a hell, should catch a hell because you are not organized. And the only way you can be organized is by joining an organization. If you can do this, you'll find out that all things are possible, victory is certainly, and we'll win. But you must join an organization. And we thank you, Sister Empress, for giving us the chance to make this announcement.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. That's a beautiful thing that I really like about the blog talk format, and that is, you can do something in time, and so I really like that as things come up and we feel we need to get information circulated, we can use this platform and any of the platforms that's connected to our network. And so, we're going to make sure that we do send this out to some of the other communicators that we work with so that, by Monday, we will have it, circulated as best as possible. So as soon as we get the flyer, we'll also make certain that we send it out. And family, those of you who get the flyer, please, again, send it out to your networks. Many of you are on Facebook. Use that Facebook medium to circulate the information, okay? All right, family, we're going to close this session out. Again, this was to kind of give you a briefing. We will be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be on at 9 o'clock. We'll be on early tomorrow. And we'll talk with, again, Brother Justin Blake. He is the uncle of Brother Jacob Blake, and we'll be getting a report. But we're going to also put out some powerful information about what's going to be taking place on October the 31st. There's a national rally that is presently being planned. And just like Brother Anthony just mentioned, we're hoping that people in their cities will coordinate something on October the 31st. I'm not going to go into the details right now, but I can tell you the theme is no more tricks. No more tricks. Justice now. You want you like that, brother?
That's pretty good. I like that.
You know how creative we are. Oops, just dropped something. You know how creative we are. Okay. But, yeah, we came up with that in our dialogue that we need to do something for that day. And see, just like, again, you know, changing the whole scope of October 12th and having that Indigenous Peoples Day. And, you know, people be out there doing something on October 31st, tricking and treating. And we said, okay, no more tricks. This is it. We want justice. We want justice now. No more tricks.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep, all out for Brianna and for Jacob. Okay, so again, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, family, we'll have information for you specifically about that, how you can get involved. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we do something. You had something else to add on that, brother?
No, I didn't, sister. I just thought it was a good title, No More Tricks.
Oh. No doubt. Well, also, I want everyone to know I'm definitely planning to be in D.C. on Monday. And so, again, you know, we'll be giving you more updates later on this week about some other things that some new developments. So stay tuned. And also want to remind you, Africa on the Move is on every Sunday as well from 7 to 9. Is that correct, Brother Lee?
That's correct, and check out this past one and get more information on this program. We did a little feature this past Sunday that I think may be informative to the audience. So they can go to the archive, go to Blog Talk Radio, and type in Africa on the Move, and they can, you know, pop up and they can listen to the program.
Great, great. All right. And one last thing, family, when we do our program tomorrow night, we will also be paying tribute to the great Fannie Lou Hamer. Yep, tomorrow is her Earth Day. Fannie Lou Hamer. If you're not familiar with her, we now call her Saint Fannie Lou Hamer. And with that, we have 20 sister saints. So we'll be talking about Fannie Lou Hamer tomorrow and how the now Million Woman Party, how, again, Mother Saint Fannie Lou Hamer has inspired us to take action. And so, you know, she gave us examples. She showed us some of the stuff that we need to be focusing on and doing. And so with the Million Woman Party, we're going to have sessions this weekend. Again, ours is not about trying to be a part of none of these people's nothing. We want to develop our own black women's political agenda and begin to train and educate our people about politics and politrics, and also see what can be done in our local areas, our local communities. We have no faith in this government, so don't get it confused. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about strategic maneuvers, and there's some things that can be done in our communities, in our local governmental structures, but of course there has to be some levels of accountability with that as well. But we need to be organized to do that. We cannot continue to complain about stuff and then not have a plan of action that we at least attempt to bring about. And so this COVID situation by now should have at least given folk enough insight into some of what we need to do. And lastly on that, we plan to have our Black Homeschooling Network ready, up and running for January. So we'll be giving you more information about that as well. And the point being that many parents have to have their children or have their children online because a lot of the schools are not open. So many parents are having their children to do their schoolwork online. Well, we're saying you might as well connect to something online that's black. They're going to be online anyway. And there are some of these, not just curriculum, but some of these classes that are certified classes, meaning they have met the so-called requirements for these school systems. And so we'll be giving you, we will help provide you with that kind of information. Okay, so again, stay tuned. This month is October. It's Million Women March month. As far as we're concerned, we have declared this also Black Women's Appreciation and Awareness Month. And we'll be telling you more about that as we move further into October. Okay, Brother Africa, Brother Lee Robinson, we thank you as usual, always bringing us wonderful, powerful information and inspiration, and of course, Brother Anthony as well. And so, family, you know what we do. We say we're going to leave you as we oftentimes greet you in the spirit of Ma'at and Hotep. But remember, there will never be any real peace, meaning Hotep, until there's truly justice. And we're talking about irrevocable, irreversible, totally of what we need and want, justice. Because we say if there's no justice, there's no what, my brothers?
No peace.
No peace.
No peace. That's right. All right, family, again, we thank you. We will be back tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. Again, joining us, Brother Justin Blake. We'll talk to you then. Until then, promote you to the Shinda. Together, we shall win. And I know you brothers agree with this, and we must organize, organize, organize. All right. Peace to you all.
You too. Thanks.